Live from the Gator Grapplers Hall of Fame in Bayou-La-Batrie, Louisiana. It's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. 30 minutes of no-holds-barred discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling. With your host, the eldest and wisest of the Ringhausen Brothers, author, inventor, philosopher, the first banjoist for the New York Philharmonic, and the legal representative of the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers, a man whose only fault is that he loves too much, mainly himself, Richard J. Ringhausen. And also featuring the youngest of the Ringhausen Brothers, well-loved song and dance man and self-taught herpetologist, the new overseer of the Bridge of Death, twice decorated Air Force hero sandwich eater, a man with Ringhausen blood coursing through his veins, Craig 12.5% Ringhausen Johnson. And are you ready for this? Marksman, sculptor, and daredevil, the 7-time world welterweight alligator wrestling champion and winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain, a man who has proven time and time again that he is right about everything, most of the time, also the youngest of the Ringhausen Brothers and the star of your show, Alan J. Ringhausen.
Okay. Now.
During the between the section between the announcement for Craig and the announcement for you, it goes, "Are you ready for this?" Which is like stolen from Meet the Parents, right? But you had said one of your kids isn't happy with the podcast episodes unless that happens.
It's a friend, and he says, "I'm always waiting for Rick to say, are you ready for it?" And sometimes you do, and sometimes you don't. And it's Andy.
Andy.
He's one of the bridge tenders. Andy Klinke.
He wants to be famous now.
He is famous now.
Okay. He is now.
He tends the Bridge of Death with you. He's the assistant Bridge of Death tender.
He's the assistant bridge mechanic with me, but he's also a bridge tender.
He's the assistant to the bridge
he's the
tender of death.
He's the wrench operator.
Is he... Now, when you got an assistant, do you make him like bring you sandwiches and beer?
He holds a flashlight. He's got like 19 of them.
That's the same job Brad had in the orchard.
Brad had a job?
Yeah.
Water boy.
Oh, water boy.
Quit making fun of Brad.
I am. Okay.
He did the best he could.
Do you have a plan for this one, or are we just kind of...
So,
good Lord.
Question I got.
How could you ask something like that? Of course he has a plan.
Yeah, I'm sure he does.
If we're going to have Johnson here regularly.
What the hell was that?
It was the remains of one of your records from
last
show.
Oh, okay. I just thought it was...
If we're going to have Johnson here, I want to make sure that he's intelligent enough to fit in with us.
Oh, good luck.
Ooh. Okay.
So I've got a quiz today. We're going to do a quiz.
Quiz. You're the quiz master.
I'm the quiz master.
Great.
And the way this is going to work is that I've got a topic of 20 items, right?
Ah!
And we're going to see how many of them Johnson can name in 60 seconds. And if he names them all, then what do we got? We've got an almond joy.
Almond joy, double.
Right there.
It's a double.
Just waiting for him.
What is the topic?
But if he... Well, wait, I'm going to finish up this. If it doesn't work correctly, then... if he doesn't get them all, and then Alan gets a chance for 15 seconds to name any of them that's left. If Alan names any of them Johnson didn't, then we eat that candy bar in front of him. Right.
That sounds fair enough.
I don't.
Sounds
Andy,
fair enough to me.
Okay, you name them all?
Okay, so let me show you how this is going to work. So, Alan, let's say that I asked you name 20 animals that were on Noah's Ark.
No, okay.
Go.
Elephant, zebra, lion, tiger, gorilla.
Okay, yeah, okay. So you see how it works.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. So we're going to set the timer, and we're going to give Johnson a category. And we'll see how many of them he gets, and then if he doesn't get them all, then you get a chance
to step in and get one. And then, okay.
Okay.
So but it's going to be super tough. If
are you ready,
Johnson? He names them all.
I know maybe. That. I don't even know what the topic is.
Well, okay, so you ready? Okay. Your topic is capital cities of countries in Africa.
Good Lord.
Okay. 30 seconds. Go.
Cape Town.
Africa is right.
Tripoli.
Of what?
Libya.
Okay.
Algiers.
Of what country?
Algeria.
Yes, okay. Well, you didn't say that.
Sudan is Khartoum.
Yes.
All right. Togo is Lomé.
Yeah.
Okay. Somalia is Mogadishu.
Yes, yes.
Senegal is Dakar. Right?
Yes.
Okay.
Nigeria,
Abuja.
30 seconds.
Okay. Tunisia is Tunis, obviously.
Okay.
South Africa's Cape Town.
Yeah. You already said it.
I already got that one. You'll get another
Libya's
one.
Tripoli.
You already said it!
All right. Gambia's Banjul. Botswana. Okay. Gaborone.
Wait. Go back to, what was the other one? Was that correct?
Yes. Two good ones.
Okay. Ouagadougou.
Yeah.
That Burkina Faso?
Yes.
Okay. And then Chad is N'Djamena, I think.
It's time. Okay. Yes, he got that one too.
Okay.
I think you got 17.
That's not bad.
Okay, now we're going to give Alan 30 seconds to see if he gets any. Are you ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
Ready? Go!
Let's see. I would say Cairo.
Cairo of what country?
Egypt.
Ding!
Done.
You got it. Okay. No candy bar for you, Johnson. But me and Alan are going to split this almond joy and eat it in front of you.
But that's my favorite.
I know. Isn't life harsh? All right.
I did so well, too.
So, Alan, tell me the ironical story.
I can't got my mouth full of candy bar.
The ironical story about your daughter's car driving.
Okay, my daughter, my oldest daughter.
Okay, not Julia.
No, well, my oldest daughter.
The other one, okay.
She works for this company, and she got a company car, right? And all she did was complain about it. It was a Ford Fusion. She said it was a piece of junk, and she's almost embarrassed to go places in it.
Fusion, it's Ford so bad. Fusion.
So then she gets like this, changes position or promotion or whatever, and she gets a new car. And it's like an all-electric Ford, you know, the Mach-E or whatever. And loves it. And it's a self-driver. You know, one of those where you can just let go of the steering wheel and it'll drive itself.
Yeah.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah. Today she calls me and said she's in a car accident. She's fine. But she's in a car accident, totals out her car. She got hit from behind. Made a mess of it. Destroyed her car and the one that hit her. But the irony of it is the car that hit her was a Ford Fusion that she hated.
No!
It was like...
revenge.
It was a smart car. It knew that she was in there.
Did you think if she hadn't been using the self-driving, maybe she'd have seen that coming and...
She wasn't using the self-driving at the time.
Maybe she should have been.
The car's capable. Yeah. Would have outsmarted the Fusion.
Okay. It might have seen it coming and sped up.
Okay, you know how last episode I used the phrase, Johnson, you're right?
Yeah.
Was
that a mistake?
I got to hear a Rick, you're right moment the other day.
Where?
My daughter.
I was going to say your wife didn't.
Daughter Kristen, right. One day, you know, Sue and I come home, and there's eggs sitting out on the counter, right? And they're farm-fresh eggs. So what did we learn about farm-fresh eggs in Europe?
Don't have to be refrigerated.
As long as you don't wash them.
I said, put those eggs in the refrigerator. And she says, they're farm-fresh eggs that you don't have to wash them. And apparently that's...
Don't have to refrigerate them.
You don't have to refrigerate them. And apparently that's true, that in France and Europe, they do not refrigerate eggs. They take them fresh from the chicken, you know, and whatever was on the chicken, when it comes out of the chicken, still on the egg, and it protects the egg somehow. And so she apparently puts the eggs in the cabinet. Now, what we've discovered...
Put them in the cabinet or put them in the refrigerator?
Cabinet.
Okay.
And forgot about them.
Oh, my God.
Come in and go, what in God's name smells in the house? What's going on? You know, and I come home and there's candles lit and burning in the kitchen, you know, like fragrant candles, and the whole place reeks of Lysol. It's just the most, it's terrible. Well, apparently her eggs don't need to be refrigerated for a couple of days, but you put them in there for a couple of weeks or a month. Oh.
And then she cracked one open.
I guess.
Oh,
or they, one of them just went to egg heaven up in the cabinet and stank. My God. Have you ever smelled rotten eggs, Johnson?
Yeah, it's not good.
No. Okay. I was talking to Tim Davis, a friend of ours, and he worked at a body shop, right? And they brought in a car that had been in a wreck. And then put it in the shop and then left for, you know, like a holiday or 4th of July, whatever. It was in there for days. But the car that was wrecked had groceries in the trunk. And there was a gallon of milk that had exploded and gone rancid inside the shop.
I thought you were going to say that.
And they walked in, you know, like 5 days later to rancid milk smell throughout the body shop. That was bad. But let me tell you a different one. Rick, at one time, was an attorney.
Yeah.
And he did some law work for some friend and got him off the hook on some dilemma that he was in. And so the guy does Rick a favor. He had shot and killed a turkey and had it dressed it and had it frozen and gave it to Rick as a gift. But he had, when he came by Rick's house, there was nobody home, so he put the turkey behind the seat of his car and then told Dennis to let Rick know that that turkey was in his car, and I guess Dennis forgot about it, whatever, and Rick was on vacation, comes home in the middle of the summer. Was that your Pinto? What car was that?
No, it was a Taurus or something.
Taurus? And
we got rid of that car.
You probably had it coming, though.
Have you ever smelled rotten turkey?
Cooked in the sun.
You know, I'm not sure that rotten eggs is worse than rotten turkey. It's pretty bad.
They're both pretty equal, horribly smelling things.
Hey, you said a commercial, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, why don't we take this commercial break and we'll be right back.
There you go.
Have hornets built a nest the size of a basketball in the azalea bush right next to the front door of your house? Of course, you could go burn them with a gasoline rag. But what if you don't want to burn down your house? Or maybe you're a dedicated conservationist, good Lord, who recognizes the value of hornets.
Wait, cut.
Yep.
Cut.
Yep.
Start over.
All right. Have hornets built a nest the size of a basketball?
Hold it. Cut. Take two.
Have hornets build a nest the size of a basketball in the azalea bush right next to the front door of your house? Of course, you could go burn them with a gasoline rag. But what if you don't want to burn down your house? Or maybe you're a dedicated conservationist who recognizes the value of hornets, but don't want to get them greeting you every time you go outside. Well, Dr. Ferd has the answer, the hornet cork. That's right, a hornet cork. A rubber cork with expanded concentric ridges. It couldn't be easier. Simply take one of Dr. Ferd's hornet corks and gently screw it into the opening at the base of the nest. One size fits all. Now you can safely and conscientiously snip the nest loose from the bush or tree and move it to a new location. Once the nest is in its place, simply remove the cork with a quick twist of the wrist. Voila! The hornets can now live out their lives without interfering in yours. Don't wait. Call Dr. Ferd today. Be one of the first 20 callers and receive a free tube of Dr. Ferd's patented sting ointment. And I'm going to tell you, when you remove that cork, you're probably going to need that.
All right, welcome back to the show.
I just love the visual of screwing a cork into a hornet's nest.
It's kind of like a...
They're one size fits all.
It's kind of like the plug you put in a boat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like one size fits all.
Yeah.
Unless it's like the minnow. Then you're just out of luck.
Yeah.
Some problems can't be solved.
Okay, did we have a topic this episode?
Yeah, we didn't get around to it. You were talking about those wrestling holds in Australia last time. We didn't get to.
Yeah, I was talking to some folks that just got back from there, and they got to see koala bears.
Koalas?
And, yeah, they say that koalas...
Two koalas?
Koala bears stay in trees, like, all day long. They come down from the tree, like, maybe once a week. And the only reason they come down is so they can... relieve themselves so they can go to the bathroom.
They can't pee out of a tree?
From the tree?
They won't take a dump from a tree. They'll only do it on the ground.
Well, it's their nest. You know, you don't...
In your nest. Right. Maybe that's what it is.
Can you just find a side limb?
And what do they eat? What do they eat all day?
Eucalyptus leaves.
Or eucalyptus leaves.
Which creates... It gives them... It's a narcotic, and they are basically high.
All day. That's how they spend their days. Huh?
Where can I get some eucalyptus leaves?
But they sleep, on average, 20 hours a day.
Well, if you're strung out constantly, I can see that.
Yeah.
There were some guys in my high school class that were kind of like that. They were sleeping all the classes.
Sleep on the bus, sleep in school.
Yeah.
I know.
It wasn't eucalyptus leaves.
What happens if you fall asleep in school now?
This is Kid Johnson's Kid Johnson in here.
You get hit, the teacher hit you in the head?
No, but they do send you out to the hall.
Send you out to the hall where you can continue sleeping.
Oh, they make you stand up the entire time.
Stand up
the entire class if you're
so
asleep.
So teach.
And I'm guessing with Promethean boards, they can't throw erasers because there is no chalkboard, huh?
No. Oh, yeah, no. That's right.
They don't get to clap erasers. Did you ever clean the erasers?
Yeah.
At school?
Yeah, I did.
Did you clean erasers?
Oh, yeah.
Did your kid clean erasers, Kid Johnson? No, he doesn't know what you're talking about.
Did you have an eraser fight? You ever have an eraser fight in school?
Yeah, and chalk.
We used to have eraser fights.
You send the kids out. You send a couple of, like, seventh graders out to clean erasers. You know, and the first thing you tell them is, don't pound them on the side of the school building.
Which is exactly what you do.
And there's a bunch of rectangles on the side of the school building in chalk.
Yeah, when they've patted the erasers off on the side of the building, like they were told not to do.
Okay, let me ask you this, Craig. When you were young, when you go through grade school, you basically go through with the same bunch of kids the whole time.
Right.
Who was your paste eater? Who was your glue eater?
Bob Singleton.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Who was yours?
Jeff Gray. Ate more glue than all the rest of the class put together. Easily.
But the paste that they had, you know, you're not talking about Elmer's glue that squirts out of a tube.
No, it was Elmer's paste.
Yeah, well, I don't even know if they still make paste.
I don't know.
They must
have thought it was, like, made of flour.
Yeah, it's like flour and water. I don't think there's much else to paste other than
It was like eating an uncooked pancake.
Yeah, you could eat it if you wanted to.
Did you ever take Elmer's glue and, like, put it on your arm and then peel it off like a layer of skin?
Yeah. Everybody
I was
did
a kid.
That. Come on! He's got someone's arm right now. He's getting ready to eat it.
Speaking on your arm, did you see what I've got on my arm?
What happened to you?
What is that?
Look at that. I've got to the uninitiated. Alan, can you describe what we've got here?
It looks like a burn, like you touch yourself on a barbecue grill or something.
I thought it looked like the grip on a football, the
I'd say
the threads.
Every bit of about 3 or 4 inches of like a raspberry colored that goes down my arm.
Yeah, it looks like a burn.
I was.
Like you've been tasered.
I was doing yard.
Were you doing something illegal?
I was doing yard work and trimming the bushes in front of the house to make them roundish looking. And there's a barberry.
You were doing some topiary work.
I was doing topiary work. And there's a barberry in front of the house.
Did you carve one out that looks like Mamie Van Dorn?
No, but I could have. This is a big bush.
Okay.
This thing's just...
Cut!
This thing's just covered with... This thing's covered with sticker bushes, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like thorns and stuff.
Huh?
And
it was a really big bush.
I was clipping them off, you know, and they're piled up there, and then I'm going to shove them in a bag. Notice how I'm ignoring you? And in the process, raked one of them across my arm, and it turns out that I'm, like, highly allergic to whatever the toxin is that's in barberry thorns.
I wouldn't eat one for
okay,
sure.
Look
the,
at that.
The next time that your wife has got some big job for you, you go out and break off a little piece of the branch and, you know, like, all across your chest like you've been... Yeah, beaten with something. I say, I can't. Look at me.
You know,
I'm suffering here.
The funny thing is, you could take that stuff and like write your name on your chest or whatever, you know, with it. And
is it painful?
It would. Oh yeah.
Oh well, then never mind.
It looks painful.
You could go ahead and do the honeydew job.
And not only that, you know, Sue comes out, you know, after I finish my work, you know, I want to brag about it. Sue, come out and look and see how everything looks, you know, and she's standing there. She goes, oh my God, what's wrong with your arm? And look down, and it's bleeding. Remember how Uther Tinker used to bleed?
Oh, yeah.
That old man that worked for us on blood thinner, yeah. And he'd scratch himself.
You're there now.
And just drip blood all over everything.
You're there.
This thing, when you rip it open a little, which I apparently also did in addition to getting it, it just bleeds. My God, you can't believe how much it bleeds.
On the internet, it says, take a soft cloth, soak it in gasoline, and rub it on the affected area, Rick. So,
because if it's on the internet, it must be true.
We would like to help you.
Yeah,
get the jug of gas.
You know, when we were kids, and we'd have a hog or something that would get caught in the barbed wire and like rip a hole in its leg. You know, and then it would get infected, and, you know.
That never happened!
And it would get, like, maggots growing in it. Granny Churchman would always say, just throw some gasoline on that, and it'll clean that out.
I think we used to put diesel on the hogs to get rid of the bugs, you know, gnats or something on them.
Well, like oil. You'd use oil or diesel.
Yeah, you'd oil up a hog. What?
They make hog oilers.
Well, I know. It's like those things that when they go in and out of their shot, it like drags across their back.
Right.
And they make them for cattle, too.
They do?
Did you know that?
No.
Yeah. Didn't you ever wonder why every time you came into the house when you were a kid, that there was like a cloth hanging over the door that would rake across the top of your head?
No.
Well, that's the Johnson kids didn't have lice.
Well, ask Ruth Ann. That's why. You powdered them every day like that.
Okay, yeah. I don't know how you guys got this far off. Let's get back to where we were talking about eating paste.
Was that the topic?
Today's topic. School products you can eat. Kids eat a roll of erasers.
What about
too.
A pencil chewer?
Oh, man, that was me.
And, oh, really?
Oh, it still is.
You chew a pencil?
I chew a pencil like nobody's business.
Could they...
pen caps?
Could they identify your body based on the bite marks on the pencil?
Probably. I also was the kid that would chew on a pen until I'd had the blue ink coming out of my mouth.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I'm like, oops.
I went too far. You have some kind of deficiency that you...
Plastic deficiency,
Ink deficiency.
Wow. That's kind of weird.
I saw, we got this dog. Kristen's got a dog.
That eats pencils?
It looks like Dobby the house elf. And
Yeah.
And it eats pencils, erasers, pens, anything. If it's on the counter, the dog can jump up on the table. I don't know how it does it, but it does it. And if there's anything on the table, like a pen or anything, you know, it's, and then it'll take it like over to the sofa and sit and finish destroying it.
Remember? I think if you give it a sock, it'll get its freedom and just go away and won't eat your pens anymore.
We had a basset hound that got into the giant box of Crayolas, you know, like the, not the 64 set, but the...
The 128.
Yeah.
Oh, with the sharpener.
The big Crayolas.
Oh, yeah.
Ate the whole box and it pooped a masterpiece. It was like a Mondrian painting. It was fabulous. The whole family gathered around in
those
awe.
Those little dog turds, they had chunks of all different colors, crayons mixed in them. You could have taken it and drug it across the wall and drawn a rainbow.
Yes, it was beautiful.
Did you do that?
A turd rainbow.
No. Okay. Rick did. Rick was always playing with the dog droppings.
No, he wasn't. That's a lie.
I watched an episode of Ridiculousness. You ever watched that TV show?
Love it.
I love that show. And
except for Chanel West Coast Laugh.
Oh, that's a little disturbing. But yeah. Otherwise, she's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But they had this dog in the vet's office. They got it up on the table, and the dog's kind of like gagging, and then all of a sudden, it vomits out an entire bag of uninflated balloons. Like hundreds of them just all came out in one big wad. It was impressive, let me tell you.
Stuff that an animal will eat. Yeah. What I was warming up to with those dogs, though, is the other day I come home, and laying on the middle of the kitchen floor is the cap of a giant magic marker.
Uh-oh. Like, this can't be good.
That's never good.
No. Oh my God. And I just had this picture of that dog laying up on the white couch, you know, with a
it's
like ripped open a magic marker and it's just like dragging ink all over everything.
Yeah. Oh Lord.
Which I go in, I mean, immediately go looking for him before Suzanne comes home. And here's the dog, and he's got it in his mouth like he's holding a bone, but he hasn't busted it open yet. Like, give me that.
Come here.
Give me that.
Come on.
So, you know, I'm wrestling and take it away from him. And then I've got like magic marker all over my hand, like I've drawn a skeleton on my hand. I just wiped it off on the dog.
Dog's still alive?
Yeah.
Wasn't toxic?
Nothing will kill it.
Is the dog a good artist?
No.
Oh.
Dog's a rescue animal Kristen had mercy on and brought home. And it's like a mixture of, I don't know, whatever the most energetic, frantic dogs are, that's what this dog is. And right. It looks just like Dolby the house elf on Harry Potter.
Okay.
Its ears won't ever fold forward like they're supposed to. They always fold backwards, no matter how many times you fold them forward.
What's Harry Potter? Settle down.
He was a fictional wizard.
I watched them all, man.
Yeah.
Read all the books. You read the books?
Oh, yeah. Oh, him. Yeah, he has to.
Did you read the books before you watched the movie?
Of course.
Okay.
Now, yeah, the book. Do you remember when when the books were coming out when your kids were little?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, to where they would like.
Oh, I couldn't wait for the next one.
You read them?
I mean, they couldn't wait for the next one.
That sounds like 3 minutes till the train leaves the station, isn't it? 3 minutes.
I think it left a long time ago.
Train leaves the station 3 minutes.
I still want to get a can of gas and rub it on that...
the spot on my arm?
Yeah, cure you. I'm going to cure you.
You know what the hardest part is? It's starting to like scab up.
Yeah, did you cry?
No, I didn't cry. I haven't cried in ages. It's all you can do to keep from like picking at it.
We'll put a bandage on it for Pete's sake.
No, you got to have it, leave it to air out to heal properly.
No, but what I'm saying is I don't want to look at it. It's grossing me out.
It's a little gross.
Wear a long sleeve.
That's
or
why humans wear clothes for the most part.
Man, have mercy on the rest of society. That's all I'm saying. I see you got your Cardinal baseball hat on you.
Yeah,
going to game?
Well, what is today? June 14th?
Something like that.
Something like that. It's Flag Day.
Ah!
Oh, you're a flag disposer of her, aren't you?
We are.
Whoa,
we are.
Whoa, whoa.
We burn them.
You, and then drop them off the bridge?
No,
a veterans organization.
Oh, that's right. If you have a torn up flag or...
There's a drop box out in front of the Hardin Legion.
A flag that is aged.
Your flag is torn up. You're not supposed to just throw it in the trash.
Right. Out of respect.
To
your country.
Then we hold a ceremony. We burn them. And then anything that
what
doesn't
kind of
burn...
What ceremony?
Well, it's... patriotic one.
Okay. Do you sing?
We have singing.
Okay. Yeah. You play trumpet?
No. Well,
it's getting close to time, you know.
Yeah. What are you saying? What are you trying to say?
Tass is played.
That's what I said. That's what I meant.
Right.
Trumpet.
Yeah, but it's a bugle.
Okay.
You can play taps on a trumpet, though.
You can. You don't finger it. You just blow it.
Did you play the bugle when you were in the Air Force?
Nope.
Never?
Nope.
Never.
I don't play an instrument.
None.
Not a one.
Whatsoever.
Not a one. None.
Any of your children play?
No, not really.
Isn't there a Jew's harp right up there on the
there you go.
You could probably play that.
You probably play washboard. Or you play the spoons. Or you have to have rhythm.
I don't have that.
There we go.
What?
Okay, I was trying to find out about baseball. You got your baseball hat on.
Yeah.
How long ago has it been since, when was the last time you were at a baseball game?
I went to spring training baseball last year.
Did you really? Where?
Florida.
Petersburg?
Two places. No, I did not go over there. The Red Sox have JetBlue Stadium, and we went and saw the Cardinals play at George Steinbrenner Field in Tampa.
Really?
Yeah. Pretty cool.
They let you in for free?
No, God, no. Nothing on earth.
Well, it's just training. It's not
a
real game.
They still tap you. But, yeah, you're sitting right on top of the field. I mean, it's like you could go down and play if you wanted to. They probably wouldn't stop you. You're probably not any worse than some of the guys that are playing.
Well, they're professionals, aren't they?
Ah, they're young guys trying out for the team.
Oh, okay. Trying to make a name for themselves, kind of thing.
Indeed.
Fair enough.
What was that noise?
I think that means it's time to go. See you later from Rick Gator.
Craigadile.
And Alligator.
This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. The Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour is brought to you by Uncle Den's Roasters. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. And by Dr. Ferd's Mail Enhancement. If you want better service, lower postage, and faster delivery, you want Dr. Ferd. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. And with that little bit of legal business in hand, see you later. From Rick Gator, Craigadile, and Alligator, this has been a Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network production. Accept no substitutes. Like there are any.